The conversation series started a year and a half ago. Well, maybe a little over a year, I guess, to be honest. And it did start here in San Antonio. We had a pilot program about a little over a year ago at First Baptist Church. And from there, we've gone all over the country, literally all over the country. And we have had kind of an interactive conversation. And we're going to do that again today. So if you could be thinking about anything that's on your mind that you might want to talk about and ask the president or Jason, it's something that we would welcome. So I would first like to bring up to the stage Jason Cook. He is our vice president of marketing and communications. Jason came to us in December of 2016. He and his staff are primarily responsible for really the lights campaign. If you love that campaign, his team is responsible. If you hate that campaign, his team is responsible. Jason is a native of Mississippi and was a son of a Baptist preacher man. So we're thrilled to have Jason. He's a man of faith. He's done a remarkable job for us here at Baylor. So a round of applause for Jason. He's our moderator today. Scoot by me. The trajectory of our institution could not be more exciting right now and more purposeful in terms of where we are headed. And that's because our president from day one of taking the office knew exactly where we were headed. And that trajectory started then, and that path continues as direct as it has ever been. And so we're carrying out a vision that our president has had. You've heard about Illuminate, which is our academic strategic plan. If you haven't heard about it, you're going to hear about it today. And our new exciting comprehensive campaign, Give Light, which we're going to launch next week. All of these initiatives, and there's many others, are because our president has had a very crystallized vision and conviction to carry these things out. So we couldn't be more blessed to have her. Please join me in welcoming our 15th president, Dr. Linda Livingstone. And now I turn things over to Jason.
Well, thank you very much, Dave. And it's wonderful to be here in San Antonio. In fact, it's great to be in the conversation series back to Texas.
Absolutely.
We have been in California. We've been in Tennessee. We've been in D.C. I don't know where we've been. We got some frequent flyer miles.
I have got a few.
And we're going to Orlando in a couple
Florida.
Of weeks as well. So we are so happy to be here with you today, and want to give you one note. We have a great crowd today, but you may have some friends who weren't able to make it. This is our first luncheon that we've had.
Yeah.
So you may have some folks who aren't here. We do record the conversation series and post them on the president's website. So if you want to take that link, share it with some friends, or want to hear some things you may have missed during the conversation today, you'll be able to do that. But before we begin, any opening words?
Well, just thank you all for coming out today and being a part of this. And thanks for the sunshine, because none of us have seen that for such a long time. And it's so good to see so many. We've got alumni, we've got parents, we've got some prospective students in the audience, and what a fun time to get the Baylor family together and talk about where we're going and all the exciting things that are happening at Baylor.
You bet. So we're in year two of presidency as a 15th president of Baylor University, and you're a faculty member before that.
That's right.
You know, how has your role changed from going from a faculty member to a university president, and what was it like to come back to Baylor?
Yeah. Well, it's pretty dramatically different being a president than being a faculty member. One of the things that I've noticed since I came back when I was a faculty member, I really had no idea what was going on all across campus. I mean, really, you live in your little world. I was in the business school, and I was an assistant professor and then an associate professor. And you kind of lived in your world and did your teaching, you did your research, and worked with a certain set of students, but you really didn't pay a whole lot of attention to what was going on everywhere else on campus. So coming back as president, in many ways, it's sort of amazing to see all the really exciting and interesting things going on across the campus. So you obviously have a much bigger picture of the world and frankly, a much bigger opportunity to shape the direction the university is going and the influence that it's having on our students. So it's been great fun to be back. And I have to say we've been so warmly welcomed by everyone, whether it was our students or parents or alumni around the country. So we feel really blessed to be back, and my family and I are thrilled to be back in Waco and in Baylor.
So just a little bit busier as a president.
A little bit busier, okay. Yes.
And so next week has to be the pinnacle of busyness with homecoming.
That's right, yeah.
So a very exciting time in the life of Baylor especially. So what is your favorite part of homecoming, and why is it so important for us as a university?
Yeah, homecoming week is so much fun. I know all of you remember it if you were students there or have students at Baylor now. There's probably two things I really like. I mean, I love the Friday night where we have the kind of the rally and the bonfire that brings our students and alumni back together, and that's such a tradition. We talk about the bonfire in lieu of the lights theme, that it's one of those light elements of Baylor that's so important. But I love that because we bring our students and our alums back together to kind of have a common experience that really connects across generations. So I love that part of it. And then I do really love the parade. And I love that because it connects Baylor to the community, too. It not only brings alums back and connects them, but you see the entire Waco community there and children from around the community. And it's a great way to celebrate our students and all the interesting things they're doing with the parade. So those are probably the two parts of it that I love the most. And if you guys are not planning to come back, you need to come back. It's going to be a great week. We're going to have a lot of fun next week.
May need to set your alarm clock a little early for the parade, though.
The parade starts at 7 because we have an 11 o'clock football game kickoff. But we are going to be wide awake and ready to go at 7 o'clock.
You bet. So the university, we're making some significant progress as a university.
Absolutely.
You know, how would you describe the Baylor of today, kind of a state of affairs for the university? Yeah.
Well, obviously, one of the things I did in my first year or so was really try to understand where we are as a university, the things we need to work on, and the areas that we have tremendous opportunity. But I would say, kind of at the core, what's really clear to me, and probably even clearer now than it was when I was here last fall, was just how strong and resilient we are as an institution. And one of the ways you look at that is some of the significant metrics that indicate the direction the institution's going. And so, first and foremost is enrollment. Our enrollment has been very strong. We've hit our enrollment targets really consistently. Last fall's class was one of our most academically qualified. It was our most diverse class we'd ever had. This fall's class that we just seated a few months ago, and I know we've got some parents in the room of freshmen from this class, it is the most academically qualified class we have ever had at Baylor. It's the second most diverse, which makes our overall student body the most diverse our overall student body has ever been at Baylor, about 36% diverse students on our campus. And so very exciting. We've got really strong demand from around the country. The other statistic in regard to admission that's important is this class is 40% out-of-state students. And that's a really positive thing. Sometimes people in Texas don't think that's a positive thing, but it really is, because it means we've become a national university. And it means that we are highly regarded all across the country, and students from around the country want to be at Baylor. And so we see that. And so real strength with our admissions. Giving has been very, very strong as well. Last year was our seventh year in a row of raising over $100 million, which is fabulous. And in fact, it was our second largest year of giving, close to $114 million ever in the history of the university. The only year that exceeded it was the year that we raised the money for McLean Stadium and for the Foster campus. So the year that was sort of the big year of giving for that. So it really, the Baylor family has continued to come around the university, even through some difficult times, given, engaged with us, and been a significant part of what we're doing. So when you look at the metrics that really matter to the health and well-being of an institution, they're unbelievably strong, and we're really excited about the foundation that builds for us as we look forward to implementing Illuminate.
Hey, you talk about that demand. A couple of weeks ago, we had Baylor Premier for fall.
Yes.
And in the midst of tornadoes around campus, we had a sold-out Baylor Premier.
Absolutely. Yeah, we had, I think, close to 8,000 prospective students and their parents on our campus, and it was a great day. We did, in the middle of the afternoon, it was just about the time we were kicking off the UT game in Austin, had tornado sirens go off. So it was actually really good live practice of our emergency procedures on campus. And they worked really, really well. Yeah. So, but you know what? What's so amazing is last spring we had a premiere and probably had 5,000 or 6,000 people on campus, and it was one of the coldest days in March you will ever have seen in your life in Waco. And then this fall we have tornadoes, and yet they still come.
Yeah, we found out who's committed for sure.
They still come, but you know, it just shows that our folks make everyone feel so warm and welcomed and cared for, even in the midst of a little bit of challenging weather circumstances on our campus. So fabulous events, lots of interest in Baylor.
Yeah, another way that we're talking about how Baylor's moving forward is the launch of our academic strategic plan.
Absolutely.
Called Illuminate. Mm-hmm. So what is the kind of the foundations of Illuminate, and why is it important for Baylor to move forward as a preeminent Christian research university?
The foundations of Illuminate really go back to a vision that was developed in around 2012, 2013 called Pro Futurus. And that vision statement called Baylor to become a preeminent university, a preeminent research university, while continuing to ensure the integrity of our Christian mission. And so for really probably the 5 years after that, there was a lot of attention paid to the quality of the student body, retention of students, and made a huge difference. It's why we've had the qualified classes we have, the diversity of the classes we've had. But not a lot of attention was paid to that side of it that really moves you forward in the ranks of universities and moves you up in the quality of research universities. And so Illuminate is really designed to put kind of flesh and bones around that part of the Pro Futurus vision. And when we talk about that, why does it matter that we should have a preeminent Christian research university in this country? And it really matters because in higher education, there are very few research universities that maintain the integrity of their Christian mission. Many of the great universities in this country were Christian at one point in time, but chose not to continue down that path. And there are many wonderful Christian colleges and smaller universities in this country, but to have a Christian university that is producing research at the highest level, producing PhD students that are going out and making a difference, producing undergraduate students that understand the role of research, are taught by some of the best faculty in the world, it matters and it makes a difference. And Notre Dame really is doing that from the Catholic tradition. Baylor is the only Protestant university in the country that is positioned to be able to have that kind of influence. And so we talk about how the world needs a Baylor. The world needs a preeminent Christian research university that's influencing research, it's influencing policy, it's influencing academics, and it's producing graduates at all levels of education that are going to go out and make a difference in the world. So we're excited about the opportunity that we have very uniquely in higher education.
You talk about how you don't want to lose that distinctiveness as a Christian university, a research university, and we put together a good foundation. We call them our pillars,
right,
as part of Illuminate. So there's four of them. Kind of relates to independence, the four,
that's right.
four
pillars
columns
of independence.
So what are those pillars, and how will they serve as that foundation for Illuminate?
One of the things we concluded early on as we began to build out our thinking around the strategic plan is that we needed to have some sort of stakes that we placed in the ground that sort of, regardless of some of the other aspects of Illuminate, grounded us in who we are and the things that we think are important, particularly because we've seen other universities drift away from their faith-based mission or their focus on undergraduate education. So these four pillars are really to help keep us grounded as we move forward. So the first pillar, and most important, is to ensure that we continue to be an unambiguously Christian university and we continue to strengthen the Christian mission of the institution. Second is to continue to strengthen the transformative undergraduate experience that has been core to Baylor since its founding in 1845. And then the third pillar is to really enhance and grow our research and scholarly endeavors so that we can continue to grow the influence that the university has as a Christian university in this country. And then the fourth pillar is to continue to ensure that our student programs in human performance in the arts and in athletics continue to be among the best in the country as a window into the institution that oftentimes is the first way people get to know us around the country. And those foundational pillars, we really even began talking about those before we had fleshed out Illuminate, and are very, very important to us as we think more broadly about where we're going strategically.
And wrapped around those pillars, we're calling some strategic initiatives, and we think that there's some grand societal challenges that are out there right now, that Baylor can play a significant role in helping those and infuse that Christian influence and that Christian voice in solving some major problems. So what are those areas that we're looking at, particularly from a research standpoint? Yeah.
So we've identified five academic initiative or academic theme areas that then we will flesh out and build out with regard to research and really programmatic emphasis as we go forward. And all of these areas are interdisciplinary in nature. We recognize that to solve some of the big issues in the world, you've got to work across disciplines. They're all areas where we have expertise already as an institution within our faculty and staff. And there are areas where there's actually opportunity for external funding to help support the direction that we're going. So the five are health. It's a huge area for us. About a third of every one of our freshman classes wants to go into some kind of health-related program. And we have great partners that share our name, Baylor Scott & White, Baylor College of Medicine, and of course, we work very, very closely here in San Antonio with the military and the bases here on some wonderful programs that serve the military. So it's a great strength for us. Data sciences is a second area. I've talked today, and we had a cyber day on campus, how important what's happening with data around the world is, around cybersecurity, around ethics and how we use data. There's a tremendous opportunity for us to build out some programs and do research, frankly, from a bit different perspective as a Christian university. Third is material science, and this really drives out of our engineering school. We have folks doing really interesting research on the kinds of materials we use to make products better, safer, faster, lighter, and there's a lot of opportunity for external funded research in that space. And then probably an area that we've had more historic strength in is in what we call human flourishing, ethics, and leadership. And that really pulls more on our humanities and social sciences, our School of Social Work, our Truett Seminary, as we think about how do we help communities, society, and individuals to live healthier, more successful lives broadly, not just in this country, but around the world. And then the final area is what we're calling Baylor in Latin America. We discovered as we went through the process of kind of identifying themes that we have a fairly significant number of faculty on our campus that do a lot of work in issues related to Latin America and Hispanic culture. And nobody knew that. And so people weren't connected. They weren't working together. And given the demographics of Texas, our connections into Latin America, it's a tremendous opportunity area for us. So we're going to build out all of these areas. We've got an implementation plan that we're in the process of moving forward on. And it's just tremendous opportunity, both for new degree programs as well as for research that will help solve some good world problems, but also engage our undergraduate and graduate students in interesting work that's going to help them have a greater impact on society.
Yeah, with Illuminate, it started out academic strategic plan, and we've had some tremendous faculty engagement from across the university and multidisciplinary teams coming together, particularly around the strategic areas. But even though it's an academic strategic plan, it's really more than that.
It's
more of a strategic plan for the university.
Yeah. Well, and what we've done, we kind of built this out from an academic perspective, but we've also built out a financial model that underpins it. It's going to take that to be successful. The financial model really relies on growth in graduate professional education, funded research, and then our Give Light campaign that we can talk more about to fund the direction we're going. It is not to grow undergraduate enrollment or to significantly increase undergraduate tuition. We've made a concerted effort, and it's really one of the things we talk a lot about, that we're not going to do this on the back of undergraduate tuition. So that's an important piece of it. We have a facilities plan that goes with that. There's academic facilities. There's athletic facilities as a part of that. There's a huge component that relates to supporting our students, whether that's student life, admissions kinds of things, or student scholarships. And then the Give Light campaign that we're kicking off next Thursday is a significant part from a philanthropic perspective. It will be our first comprehensive campaign that we have ever engaged in that supports an entire strategic plan for the university. And the Give Light campaign is kind of got three major buckets. It's got an endowment bucket that is about half of the overall campaign amount. We've got to grow our endowment, so we rely less and less over time on tuition to drive initiatives and to move forward. There's another bucket that is related to kind of current use for activities on an ongoing basis. And then the third bucket is the capital projects that will drive both the academic side and the athletic side as we move forward.
And Dave thanks you for not spilling the beans on the big announcement on Thursday night. But a huge launch event next Thursday where we're actually going to go into the public phase of the Give Light campaign. And, you know, we've talked a lot about light, and we have a scripture, Matthew 5, 14 through 16, that's been guiding us, and it's really become, as part of our vision, it's an alignment, not only from our brand campaign, but also Illuminate and Give Light. It's been pretty interesting how it's all come together.
It has. We kind of started that campaign back in January of last year, and again, Jason and his team get huge credit for that. It was kind of their vision to do that, and it's really such a wonderful reflection of who we at Baylor are. And one of the things we talked about when we were talking about how to sort of do this branding, we wanted something that captured Baylor that wasn't what you could see at any other university around the country. Many kind of branding campaigns at university, if you took the name of the university off, you'd have no idea what university you were talking about. And it really has captured, I think, the essence of who Baylor is. And it's been fun because really within weeks and months of us kicking the campaign off, everybody on campus started using the light language to talk about what we were doing. I get emails from people saying, oh, let me tell you how our students are shining their lights bright around campus or around the world. And they send me pictures and stories about research. And it's just been really great to see how that resonated so deeply. And I think it sort of touched a place in everyone's hearts that sort of gave us a chance to really talk about the great things that are going on at Baylor in a really special way.
Now, this is your opportunity to start thinking of some questions for the president, okay? So I'm giving you a little bit of warning. I'm going to call on all of you in a few minutes to ask some questions. We'll have microphones available, but I've got a few other questions
okay.
for you. All right, this is, are you really a Baylor Bear or not,
okay? Oh, no.
So, but first
can you, like, call on the audience to help out on
something?
Dial a friend or something like that.
So I hear that you have your own brand of coffee or tea at Common Grounds.
Yeah, Brad and I think we've kind of arrived because we have drinks at Common Grounds that are called the Prez and the First Gent. I think that's really pretty special. So, yes, Brad's is a dark chocolate mocha with raspberry.
Yes.
And mine, I do not drink coffee. And I don't drink tea that's sweet, so they were struggling with mine. So mine is a peach Assam tea. So it's really good. I love it because I'm a serious tea drinker. You get into hot or cold. So when you come to Common Grounds, you need to ask for the Prez or the First Gen. Yeah.
So other than Common Grounds, what is your favorite spot on campus?
We actually really love to walk along the river or bike along the river, although I think it's underwater right now. I think the river walk is underwater. But we do love that because it kind of connects us to the community, but that, especially when you walk across campus and down by the football stadium and across the bridge, it's really fabulous. And it sort of connects the history of Baylor with the future of Baylor.
Now, we talked a little bit about homecoming coming
yes.
up and traditions involving homecoming, but you have another favorite tradition
yeah.
as well.
I love Christmas on 5th Street. And it's so much bigger than it was when I was here before. It really was just on 5th Street before. Now it's just all across the whole Fountain Mall area. And I love that, too, because it just brings everybody together, people from the community, faculty and staff and their children and our students. And it's a wonderful celebration of Christmas, but also just a celebration of the family and bringing everybody together. It's a lot of fun. I did the slide last year. That was fun.
She did.
I did the slide. Mm-hmm.
We have pictures to prove it,
we
too.
We do, yes.
All right, so you and Brad eat on campus quite a bit.
We do.
You know, surprise lunches all across campus. So I'm not going to ask you your favorite place on campus. What's the best place to go eat in Waco now? Because Waco's just booming.
Yeah, Waco's just been fabulous. Let's see, but favorite places in Waco to eat. You know, if you want to go someplace nice, we like to go to like 1424 Bistro, which is really nice. Milo all day downtown, but there's also some great food trucks in Waco, so you've got to enjoy the food trucks in Waco. Moroso's great Italian, so yeah, but we eat out all the time, so I really know all the restaurants in Waco.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, this
is, so what I'm trying to do is convince you guys to come back to homecoming next week. Great food, great
That's right.
here in Waco.
Absolutely.
So what we mentioned Premier and all the demand for people to come to Baylor. What's the advice that you give for incoming students, or what's the selling point for you as president?
Yeah. You know, I get asked a lot about what advice to incoming students and everything. So, you know, I think one of the things I try to tell students as they're coming, and I've told students that weren't just freshmen this, that, you know, college is such a unique opportunity and window of time in your life where you get to try things, you get to decide kind of what you want to do. There's all kinds of interesting things going on campus, whether it's speakers or music or athletics or theater. And so I really encourage students to take advantage of being on a college campus, not like I did when I was a professor, you know, where I had no idea what was going on campus, but it's such a rich opportunity to learn about so many interesting things and to meet so many interesting people that you will never have that opportunity again in your life. So I really encourage students, and sometimes as freshmen they come in and they're thinking, oh my gosh, all I've got to do is just live in my little world, and we certainly want them to be successful academically and focus, but to really take advantage of the full breadth of experiences you can have on a college campus.
And that's what we call the Baylor experience.
Absolutely.
Well, that was my questions. It's always, you know, I ask your boss questions. And, you know, hope I write ask the right ones. But for all of you, we've got two microphones. And if you have a question for Dr. Livingstone, if you raise your hand, we'll get the microphone to you. And tell us what your name and what year you graduated. Or if you're a parent, tell us you're a parent or just a friend of the university. So any questions?
What Bob Morrison, class of 1960. Yeah, I'm still walking. What kind of relationship do we have with the Magnolia Enterprise? Has that been helpful to us?
Yeah, so Chip and Joanna, of course, are alums of Baylor. They did not meet at Baylor, but they're alums of Baylor. They're great friends of the university and support the university in many ways. They come back and speak, they give financially, they hire a lot of our grads, they steal employees from us and go work for them. Some of our best people now work for them. So they're wonderful partners, and we continue to, you know, work with them on ways that we can partner and work together on things that make a lot of sense. Their marathon ran through our campus last year, which was very cool. And so we love them. They're great friends of Baylor and just lovely people. They're just like they are in real life, like you see them on TV. They're very genuine folks. So.
And we actually have, they have an iPhone app where you can download their app and you can explore Waco through the lens of Magnolia. And we work with them on that. Ah. And you know, we get more traffic to the Baylor website through Chip and Joanna's app than anything else that we do. Their impact has just been incredible.
I did not know that. That's
yes.
Just, how about that?
Yes.
Cool.
Very good question.
And I have met Crew, the baby, so he's a cute little guy.
In the back.
Hi, I'm Miranda Nelka. I'm a 2001 graduate of the nursing school. So in my industry here in San Antonio, most nurses are actually second career nurses mm-hmm. or ADN nurses who will go for a bachelor's online. Mm-hmm. So my question is, how are we promoting our connections to the community colleges, because it's very hard for me to sell my coworkers on sending their child to Baylor, because the expense is just right. Something, they don't come from a Baylor family, sure. So it's just not something they perceive possible.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And our nursing school is amazing. They just moved in. Have you been to the new building yet? You've got to go. They moved into a new building this summer. It's just fabulous, and it's going to really help develop even more what's already a really amazing nursing school. So one of the things, I mean, we have articulation agreements with, is it 15? 11 community colleges across Texas, including local ones here in San Antonio. And we even have some targeted scholarships for students that come out of those partner community colleges with us. And then I would also really encourage students. I mean, I think sometimes they look at just the sticker price of a place like Baylor or a private university more broadly and just think it's out of their reach, when in reality we have a lot of financial aid opportunities and ways that we really work with students to try to help them to be able to afford to come to Baylor, whether it's as freshmen or as transfer students out of community college. So I would just really encourage people not to just look at the sticker price and think that they can't do it, but to really give us an opportunity to work with them to help figure out if there's a way that we can give them that opportunity to be at Baylor, because there is a lot of opportunity there. It's certainly part of what we're trying to do, too, in the campaign is raise a lot of scholarship dollars to be able to provide even more and more opportunities for those students that cannot afford to kind of pay the regular price. In fact, I think the last couple of classes, our first-in-line students, many of whom have come through the community college ranks or just come to us as freshmen, those numbers have been increasing pretty substantially in the last few years because we've really worked very hard to provide them with the means to be able to come to a place like Baylor.
And also, particularly from a nursing standpoint, mm-hmm. you mentioned graduate and professional programs, really big growth in that space. So even graduate students mm-hmm. will have that Baylor experience as well.
Yeah, we have about 17,000 students, and historically about 14,000 of those have been undergrads, and we're going to keep that number fairly steady. But we have not grown our graduate and professional programs a lot, and there's actually tremendous opportunity, again, especially as a Christian university, a major university. So we've added, I think last year we approved 5 new online professional graduate degrees, and these are wonderful because they allow us to tap into a market that we can't physically tap into in Waco because people won't come there for graduate school. And these are the kinds of programs that actually generate resources that help us fund other things on our campus, whether it's research or scholarships or other things. And several of those programs have been unbelievably successful, even more than we had anticipated. And in the nursing school, we do have I think it's a 1-year bachelor's program for nurses that if you didn't do sort of a pre-nursing program, it allows you to kind of get up to speed to do that. It's, I think, in the online space as well. So we're looking at more and more ways in that graduate space as well to give opportunities to connect with Baylor that we haven't had in the past.
Hi, Dr. Livingston, Matt Bryant, 94 grad, old chamberman, and a 7 a.m. parade start time makes me cringe. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
My question is the Christian distinctiveness of Baylor. What are the top 2 or 3 ways that you're pushing that into, you know, campus-wide and as an old business major, too? I wonder how you push a Christian distinctiveness or worldview into the business school, into maybe a finance major.
I mean, there's many ways that happens, but first and foremost, in terms of maintaining the integrity of your Christian mission and spreading that throughout the institution, is to make sure you hire for the mission. So hiring of faculty and staff is critical, and we have criteria around our Christian mission for hiring. And so if your people buy into the mission and care about the mission, then it's going to be it's going to flow through the experiences that people have. Certainly in the classroom, how that plays out is going to vary some from person to person, from discipline to discipline. Other ways that we do it, we have chaplains in all of our residence halls. So all of our students in our residence halls have access to chaplains that are sort of living with them in the residence halls. We have chaplains in other places on campus. We have one in the athletics program that's a chaplain just for our athletes. And then Bert Burleson manages our whole kind of spiritual life component of the university. We certainly still have a chapel regularly that students have to participate in. And then really many other opportunities on campus. And some of these are Baptist student ministries. We hired Charlie Ramsey. This is his second year. He's amazing. We've really revitalized Baptist student ministries on our campus. We have another ministry called Vertical that is it's not really a university-sponsored ministry, but it's a student-driven ministry. It's huge. I mean, it is huge on our campus. And so there are just many different ways in which we kind of touch students. Our missions program, where students go either across the country or around the world, has grown substantially in recent years. That was actually one of the goals in Pro Futurus originally, was to grow the numbers of our students that did mission trips and study abroad, and we've really made huge progress on that. So there's a lot of different ways in which students' spiritual lives are touched, whether it's on the academic side or what we call the co-curricular side of what's happening on campus.
And in fact, we're about to launch a longitudinal study
yes.
that's going to look at that as well.
Yeah, we're real excited. One of the things that's happening is a study that we administer for the first time with our freshmen that came in. And this is going to be a study where we track students for 8 to 10 years, all the way out to when they've graduated and are 5 or 6 years out from graduation, to track their spiritual life and development and help us understand what we're doing on our campus that has the most impact on the spiritual development of our students and on that sticking with them after they leave college. Because we want them to have a great experience while they're on campus, but we want that to be a part of their life after they leave campus. So we have just started that this fall with our freshman class, and we will refine it some as we kind of go forward. We also think it's a tremendous opportunity for other, particularly Christian colleges and universities, to potentially have access to that survey eventually as well, so that we can all understand better how to have the most influence on the spiritual development of our young people while they're in college, so that that continues to be an important part of their life post-college.
Right here in the middle.
Randall Pinnell, I'm class of 72. I, too, can still walk, so it's good, right? And I haven't started dribbling yet either. That's pretty good. Actually, he stole most of my question, but if you wouldn't mind, as a chief academic officer of several schools, keeping those people that you hire and getting them on mission, how do you guys do that, if you'd be willing to share a little bit of that?
Sure.
That's so important.
Absolutely. And as I said, at the end of the day, you're only a Christian university if the people in your institution believe in that mission and support that mission. And so it's about the people. So certainly we have hiring standards around that and with faculty, and we have a process by which we screen to ensure that we feel like the folks that we're hiring are committed to our mission and are serious about being at a Christian institution. It doesn't mean that they've been at one before or that they even fully understand what does it mean to be at a Christian university as an academic versus at a secular university, but that they care about their faith and want to think about it as it relates to their professional life. And then we have development opportunities for our faculty around kind of the integration of faith with what they're doing on campus. And we do some of that at orientation with new faculty, but we have opportunities for other faculty along the way. We have an academy for teaching and learning, and part of what they do, they certainly do a lot of development and training for faculty around just teaching skills and helping to ensure we're great in the classroom, but that integrates elements of being a Christian institution. What does that mean, maybe differently than a secular institution? And then even with our faculty from a research perspective, there's a lot of discussion with our faculty on research about, you know, how does my Christian faith inform the research that I'm doing? And it informs it more in some areas than others, but, you know, it's a part of the conversation. And when we have faculty talk about their research, we really want them to be able to express how their faith is influencing that, or what questions are they asking and how might their faith have influenced the questions that they're asking or how they're applying that research. So I think you see embedded kind of across what we're doing with our faculty elements that really help move them in that direction. And we have pretty diverse faculty in terms of their faith. There's, I think, probably not quite half are Baptist. Catholic is our second largest group of faculty. And then we have them from a lot of other Christian denominations as well. But I think we hire properly up front. That's the real key. And then really continue to nurture them and support them as they think about their faith and its connection to their professional life.
So I know we're on the lunch hour, so we'll probably have time for two more questions if you have them. Yes, Mr. Adams.
My name is Jim Adams. I'm not a graduate of Baylor, but I've been associated with Baylor for a long time. I knew Linda back in her earlier life in the business school, which she was the smartest person over there, and I told the dean that numerous times. I compliment Madam President for moving Baylor forward other than wallowing in the past. And I would ask you to take a message back to the regents. I was a regent at Baylor, as you know. And it is time to stop that apologizing and to start moving forward, and you're doing that. And please talk to the regents about doing the same thing.
Thank you. I will take that message back. We have a meeting next week, so I will tell them.
Hi,
Laura Hodge, class of 2008, former chamberman as well. Since I was there, I think tuition has almost doubled, which is kind of crazy, but the campus size has also significantly increased. And I was wondering, where is the next site for future development of physical campuses or plans for renovation of current facilities?
Great question. In the Give Light campaign and in the Illuminate strategic plan, we have kind of a multi-phase facilities plan built into that. In the first phase of that plan, that will be part of the sort of next 5 years of fundraising, is a welcome and alumni center that will go in what some of you will know this term, Ivy Square, that right there at the corner of I-35 and University Parks. We own some property there that sort of just sits there. It's a nice green space. But it's really valuable property right there on I-35. So the idea is to build a welcome / alumni center right on that corner. The welcome center we have now for all of our prospective students, you probably have seen that visiting our campus, and it's not a really very attractive building to bring thousands of prospective students to. So this will be a really wonderful entrance into campus that will welcome our friends, our prospective students, our alumni. So we're excited about that as a project. And then what we'll work on is probably building out that whole area into a multi-use kind of space that would have some shopping and other kinds of things, restaurants. That's still sort of conceptual, but we know we want to build the Welcome Center. There's a portion of that is building out our Honors College. So we have two residence halls, Alexander and Memorial, where our Honors College students live. What we'd like to do is remodel those and then build out classroom and office space between those so that our Honors College is self-contained. It is really one of the best Honors Colleges in the country, and to have a self-contained space where the faculty and students and everybody are there and together will be fabulous. So that's one of our major projects. That will also free up space in Morrison Hall for other academic programs. Another project is to remodel Tidwell Bible Building. It has looked the same. I think any of you went there, whether it was in, I know we've got a 1955 grad, we've got 60 grads, we've got 72 grads, we've got, I don't know, 2008 grads. It looked the same for all of you. It has not changed. And it needs a lot of work. It's where all our history classes, all our religion classes are. So it's one of the major projects that we need to raise money for to really bring that up, certainly up to code, up to speed, and make it more usable academically. There is also a component that is STEM-related to help support the health and data sciences. And that is not a new building. It is building out space we have at the BRIC. It is probably rethinking how we're using some of the BSB and how we're using some of the other space on campus to ensure that we're building out support for the science and technology areas, labs and other things. But we've got space, we just aren't using it as efficiently and effectively. But there's a financial component to that. And then the athletic side of things, we've really got a really interesting comprehensive project as part of phase one that would, and we'll launch all this next week, but it would actually build a new field house and then do some remodeling at Farrell. And Farrell would become the volleyball, acrobatics, and tumbling facility. We'd still do graduations and things there. And then we'd have a new field house for basketball, for men's and women's basketball. And then we would build a football operations center next to the football practice, indoor practice facility. And then we would take the Hires Simpson Center, and you'd move football out of there, and it frees up a ton of space for our Olympic sports, for better facilities for health and well-being and weights and conditioning and all that. And so this project at all in athletics touches every single sport that we have. And so it's really one we need to do, certainly to support some of our women's sports, but to also make sure that we continue to be competitive in our major revenue sports as well. So there's it's a pretty wide-ranging facilities plan in that first phase. There are multiple phases after that would probably eventually, over the longer run, build another science building, probably do some things in our arts and theater area, and build out some other space. But right now, those ones I mentioned are the ones we're focusing on in that first phase for fundraising and then for building out facilities.
Now, the president is just giving you all some insider information there, so it was worth coming to lunch today. There you go. So, you know, I want to leave with this. You know, we talk about, Mr. Adams mentioned the board, and you and Chairman Allison, Joel Allison, long career in healthcare, have worked together to develop some decision-making principles. Mm-hmm. And I think that that really speaks to how we move forward and our commitment to Baylor's mission. So what are those principles that we look at making decisions, and how will they help us move forward?
Sure. Yeah, the Chairman Allison kind of really developed these, and then we together with the board and with my leadership team agreed that we would use these as sort of decision-making principles as we went forward. And the first one is, will the decision keep Baylor a Christ-centered university? So that's first and foremost. Second was, will the decision keep us true to the mission of Baylor University, which is really a very student-centered mission. So really, will it continue to ensure that students are at the forefront of what we do? The third principle is the decision consistent with the core convictions of the university? We actually have a set of about 10 core convictions that are on our website that were developed a number of years ago. So does it stay true to those core convictions, many of which kind of link directly to our Christian mission? And then the fourth one is it the right decision for the right reasons? And so we really do pull those out with my leadership team, the President's Council, with the board, when we're dealing with some difficult issues, to try to ask ourselves, is this decision, can we say yes to all of those sort of principles? And I think it's been a really good grounding for all of us and tries to keep us all on the same page in terms of our focus and direction for the university.
Good. Thank you for that.
Sure.
So how about a hand for our president?
Thank you.
Well, that concludes our conversation series. We really appreciate you taking some time out of the middle of your Friday to come spend it with us here. And we also appreciate everyone in here flinging the green and gold here in San Antonio. We need more green and gold here.
And in Ohio. In Columbus, Ohio, too, Columbus, all over the place.
We need some green and gold there, too.
Right? He took a football helmet up there and put it up in one of the clubs there just so Baylor would be represented in Columbus. So this is good. We love this.
Our worldwide mission. There we go. So thank you all for attending, and we hope you have a wonderful afternoon and a great weekend.
Thank you all.